following audio is from St. Nick's Durham. As a church, we exist to love God, love people, and love Durham. We hope that this sermon will serve you well as a supplement to your regular Bible reading, prayer, and participation in your local church. For more information about St. Nick's Durham, directions or resources, please visit stnicks.org.uk.
This morning's reading comes from Mark chapter 6, reading from verses 14 to 29. And this follows our reading last week when Jesus sent out the 12. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he is Elijah. And still others claimed, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had held him bound and held and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she would not be able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportunity came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I will give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried back into the king with a request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought him back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. I give you thanks for every step of each one's life journey. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to hear you speak your word to us. May I control my tongue and only make declarations that honor you. All glory be to you, O God, from age to age. Amen. It has been mentioned here today that is my last day. But I don't want to talk about the last day. I want to talk about my beginning. When I came to this country. I was coming from where I know. The people I know. I had the experience of where I was coming from. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know how it would look like. Yet, I said yes. Because I was told, go. And I said, yes, I go. Whom shall I send? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. And I didn't ask, is it high? I said, yes, I go. And so, I came all the way from Kenya. You know, I've mentioned this before, Kenya in East Africa. We are identified with Swahili. And when you hear people from East Africa, Swahili, jambo. Jambo. Jambo is high. So we say hello to everyone, anywhere, any place. It doesn't matter where they are, who they look like. You say hello. That one is there. If you go, you might be embarrassed when people find you on the street or you are coming in and they say, hello, hello, hi, jambo. So that is how we are identified. And so coming all the way with the warmth from East Africa and reaching the airport, it was still warm from the air, from the plane. And just opening the doors to come out, and it was January. And the welcome that was, and I said, should I go back? Because it was different. And so that gave me some kind of description, which up to today, people still use in the English weather. Oh, the English people, they start with the weather. And so I started with that when I came to this country. Anyhow, where I come from in Kenya, we have 42 tribes. And all we are united with that language of hi, jambo. Because everywhere you go, they will speak that language of Swahili. And so in these 42 tribes, there are major tribes and small tribes. Like me, I come from a small tribe. And there are major tribes like the Kikuyu, the Kalenjins, the Luos, the Luya, the Kamba, just to mention. You don't have to know this anyway. Just to mention that. I want to talk of one tribe, which is called the Luya, which come from the west of Kenya, or western Kenya. And they are identified with some kind of description or what they do. They usually have a sport. I'm processing in Swahili and speaking in in English. So they have that sport where they call animal fighting or bull fighting or cock fighting. So it's a big sport where people are invited, people go to cheer. So one day there were two cocks which were fighting. And people went to watch. And they were there around and cheering and cheering. And so one of these cocks won. And he flew to the fence and he was flapping his wings, rejoicing. He didn't know that the eagle was watching. And swapping down, picked the chicken, and it was chicken dinner for the eagle. And the one which was bitten, which was at the corner, came from the corner and took the master's place. Why? Because pride comes before a fall. And that's what we are exploring today. Pride comes before a fall. Perhaps I give you a story of the Western understanding. It's just from the African point of view. From the West, I want to give you a story of Robert J. Morgan in his book, Stories, Illustrations, and Quotes. And he gives this story of two ducks and rather an egoistic frog developed friendship. And when their pond dried up, the ducks knew they could easily fly to another location. But what of their friend, the frog? Finally, they decided to fly with a stick between their two bills. And with the frog hanging onto the stick by his mouth. And all went well, and one man looked up and saw them in the sky. And they thought, what a clever idea that was. And said, I wonder who thought of that. And who do you think answered? The frog answered. And remember, he was holding the stick by the mouth. And when he spoke, he left the stick. And you can imagine the fall from up the sky. Pride comes before a fall. And what a big fall that was. Perhaps from our Bible, I give you some bit of examples from the Bible to identify with this theme of ours today. Pride goes before destruction. A hot spirit before a fall. In Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 to 19, I quote, "Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share a plunder with the proud." And this principle is expressed in many of the great biblical stories. Do you remember how the mighty Samson underestimated the deceptive Delilah? You know that story. He lost all his hair, his strength, his eyes, and eventually his life. And do you remember how the Philistine giant Goliath beat his breast and ridiculed the Israelite army? His ego swelled his head, and then he lost his head to a little shepherd boy with a slingshot. Do you remember how King David's pride led to his sexual misconduct with Bathsheba? It cost his family and then his whole kingdom. And do you remember how the Apostle Peter puffed out his chest and told Jesus, "I will die with you. Whatever happens, I will go with you. I'll be there for you." And they said, "Are you sure?" "Yes." "Okay." And it comes a time and he's asked, "Do you know this man? I thought you were with him." And he said, "What are you asking?" "I don't know that man." And it was the second time. And the third time he said, "I don't know that man." Pride goes before a fall. And they thought he was going to be there. But it was just pride. In human experience, pride is often considered positive force, especially when we are talking of parental pride. You can hear parents saying, "I'm proud of my son, proud of my daughter, proud of my work, my achievement, proud of my school, my city, my church." You can say all these things. That's positive. It is negative. The opposite is of humility, or unhealthy and destructive when someone is proud of doing something that hurts others. And this is false pride. It is pure ego. It is even called the deadliest sin. A person might be proud of being lazy. Maybe we have not seen these cases. Some people are proud of being lazy, stubborn, or even bullying and hurting others. It is sad when people have a pride because then one cannot take in a new information because that pride covers or closes that space where new information should have come in. You are already like full of that pride, full of that, so you don't need any information. Robert Morgan, or J. Morgan, in his book, Stories, Illustrations, and Quotes, I quote again, and I like this one, might like it as well. He says, I quote, "Pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick except the one who has it." That's the end of the quote. And theologically, pride is more than just feeling you have accomplished something. It is believing that you are a god, that you are above all conventional rules of morality. Pride, in this sense, is considered the worst of all the seven deadly sins because it is the sin that leads to all other sins. And this brings us to the gospel that we are exploring today. And this is what we see in John the Baptist. This is what we see in Herod, all these characters involved. John the Baptist was convinced of his ordination to prepare the way for the Messiah with a call to repentance. He gave a meaning to the word courage, because what he did, not many people can do it. He took the courage to point out it is wrong what you are doing. So he gave the meaning to that word courage. On the other hand, Herod gives meaning to the word fear, because that is what was leading him. And he acted out of that fear. And this is what we see. And he did it out of self-preservation, because he knew how powerful he was. And if he didn't give in to that, then he was to lose his leadership, or if we call it leadership anyway. And let us remember that this is just a flashback. It's not something that is happening at that time. They are just recalling what had just happened, the account of John's death, which had already happened. And so he sees Jesus and thinks it is that John who is coming from the dead. Yet he had killed him. So we are just getting this story, not the real story at that time, but just a flashback of what had happened. So John the Baptist proclaimed the messianic promise that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and his sermons are an invitation to own the truth of one's sin and enter the waters of baptism as a sign of commitment to newness of life. And it was a compelling message that drew faithful in huge numbers to repentance. However, the truth-telling that ultimately proved the factor was confronting Herod about his adulterous marriage to his brother's wife, Herodias. And this judgment so angered Herodias that she wanted John killed. And so Herodias did get Herod to put John the Baptist into prison. But killing him was another side of the story. How do I do it so that this man is killed? He doesn't continue pointing out that it is wrong that I'm being married to Herod. So Herod feared the Baptist, as we have heard, and therefore protected him and knew him as a righteous person, as a holy man, and he listened to him. So even if all this was happening, in his heart, he knew who John the Baptist was. But we are not told that he confessed. At any time, anyway, we are not told that he confessed. But he knew that in his heart that John the Baptist was the righteous man. So, my dear friends, whether it is the whole nation or an individual person, it is easy to fall into the pit of pride. Pride and arrogance are epitomized in the attitude that say, I don't need God. When you start to develop that attitude, I don't need God, it is coming. When someone starts to say, I can do it all by myself, when somebody starts to say, I am strong enough, I am smart enough, I have enough friends who will support me, I have the numbers, then it is coming. That's how it begins. Outside here you want to show, but inside you know the truth. I don't need God. The fall is coming. Herod was not loved by all. His most serious enemies considered him a collaborator with Rome. And so Herod, a small-time ruler, not actually a king, was beholden to Rome and vulnerable at home. And as the drama played out, he was vulnerable to his wife as well, and beguiled by his daughter's sexually charged Dancing at this effect on his gates, Herod makes a rash promise. Herodias leverages his need to appear resolute in front of his politically important guest to get her wish. And so John is beheaded. Conflicted within himself about John's message, but surrounded by manifold political and family pressures, Herod does what he knows is awful, what he knows is terribly wrong. But because of the surroundings, those who are around him, and what was leading him, he makes this rash judgment or rash a promise, and he is deeply grieved, and there is a lesson to learn here. Pride comes before a fall. However, while we dare pass judgment on the sins of a powerful few, our text reminds us that John reached out to many. His call to repentance was not just for Herod and religious leaders, but for all Judea, which is to say, for all of us. When faced with the terrible choices of our own, we may be tempted to turn aside from what we really know to be right for fear of the consequences. There is connection between arrogancy and injustice, and this has played out right before our eyes in the Church of England. In our most recent sex abuse scandals, I am aware most of you might have watched or heard or read, but I don't want to leave or to mention names. But when you watch those videos, call them videos, but they're human beings, and you find yourself in the Church of England, and you are watching that and asking yourself, why? How? And you don't find answers to some of those questions. Arrogance and injustice, they go hand in hand. And you want to ask yourself, why couldn't somebody do something? Ego and abuse walk hand in hand. Arrogant attitudes are exposed by bad behavior. So whatever you want to hide, it will one day come to the light. Humble men don't hit their wives. Humble women don't wreck other women's homes. Humble kids don't rebel against their parents. Humble bosses don't take advantage of their employees. Humble employees do not cheat their employers. Wherever you are, whatever position you have in life, remember, pride goes before a fall. So, there is much more than what we are hearing today. John the Baptist did not just point out what we have just heard, but also direct us to where we shall find forgiveness and deliverance. He always pointed out beyond himself to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the one who will bring forgiveness, who promises that forgiveness and deliverance, and that is where we should look to, because that is our hope. We should not remain there that, it has happened, and we should read it like this or like that. Look to Jesus, because that is what John points us today, the reference from evil and death. And this is the dawning of God's kingdom, and that John proclaimed a reign of peace with God and with one another. And this ultimate assurance, God's love and acceptance of us all, is a promise of freedom from a captivity to controlling fear of ourselves. And with this freedom, born of divine grace, comes the courage to seek the truth and the goodness. We want to see it happening for our neighbors, our world, and reminding us that pride goes before a fall. Let us pray. Like the Baptist, we are afraid to point beyond ourselves to reflect the Christ in care for the needs of others, to love as we have been loved, even when faced with the terrible choices of an imperfect world, choices in which it seems impossible to do or even know what's right. When even love and courage seem insufficient, we have unconditional assurance that in the agony of uncertainties, we have the certainty of your love, Lord. Now that we are aware that pride goes before a fall, we humble ourselves before you, hold our hands and lift us up. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. Nick's Durham podcast. If you would like to hear more sermons and teaching like this, then subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about St. Nick's, visit our website at stnicks.org.uk.